as Austin sings.
You're the God of the sea. You're the King of the people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless.
Now it's my turn. All right. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. I think at this point, every year what we do is a little bit different than we're doing it this year. Typically what we do is we honor our oldest mother and our youngest mother, and a lot of the times we leave all of you other mothers out of the equation, and we don't want to do that this year. So this year we're going to do something a little bit differently, and we want to just thank you for loving us the way you do. Mothers, you know, over the years, it doesn't matter if you're a young child or you're an old child, you still are someone's child. Amen? And you have had a mother at some point or another in your life, or a motherly, godly, motherly influence. There's been someone in your life that has made a tremendous difference. And so we are so thankful and so blessed for those God has placed in our lives that have impacted us in such a great way. And so this morning, we just want to say thank you. And so if you are a mother, if you have influenced someone else, if you've had an opportunity to love someone else's child, if you have encouraged children in some way, even if you're not a mother, I just want to encourage you to stand up this morning, because we want to applaud you. We want to love you. We want you to know how much you mean to us. Please stand this morning. Amen. Now, this is what I want you to do. Remain standing throughout the whole service. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. But I do want you to remain standing. We've got some young men that are going to bring a gift around to you this morning because we do love you. Men, would you come forward this morning, please, and take these baskets, and everyone standing up gets a pen and a bookmark. The pen, you'll see, it just loves you as mothers, and the bookmark says, the blessing of the Lord be upon you on one side, and then it said, God bless the world with special women like you. And so we want you to have this, and thank you so much. Now, men, young men, you make sure, listen to me, you make sure that every lady gets one of these because all of you ladies are special in the sight of God. And so we want all of you ladies to have one of these. So if you're not standing up, ladies, stand up so we can, because these boys, if you're not standing up, they won't know to come to you. Please, please, please. We love all of you. You're a blessing to us. I don't know what you men are laughing about, but I'll tell you this, that I already have received my own bookmark and pen. Amen. Are you ladies doing well this morning? Yep. Did you have breakfast waiting on you? Yeah. If you came to church, you did. And I just want to say thank you for the ladies that provided that. That was a tremendous blessing. Great, great blessing. While these men are making sure that all of you ladies get a pen and a bookmark, I'm going to give my wife a hug because I love her. Happy Mother's Day, baby. Brownie points. Okay. Still working on it. Has every lady on this side received? If you have not received yet, ladies, would you please stand up? Everyone has received a pen and a bookmark. Still working on this side. So, there are so many stories that I could tell you from my childhood, how my mother loved me despite myself. Let me tell you a fun little story while they're still handing those out. One time I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I had a motorcycle already. I had gotten a motorcycle the Christmas prior to my 5th, maybe I was 6, I can't remember, but I was riding a motorcycle around the neighborhood. You know, when I grew up, you could just go anywhere you wanted to around the neighborhood on your bicycle or your motorcycle, and there were not going to be any issues. So it was a little mini bike, and I was riding my mini bike around the block one time, and in the house I grew up with, living with grandmother, there was a hill right on the side of the yard. It was a bank. It was a Factory Street right here was the name of the street, and I lived on 5th Street. But Factory Street, I would go back behind the house. There was a little church that was right behind the house and a little gravel parking lot, and I would get in that parking lot and just have a big time. But I would come out from the parking lot and I would come up Factory Street and I would come up the hill right there beside the house really quickly. It was about this size, the hill was, and then it planed off into the yard. Here's the issue. One time I was having really, really too much fun and going really, really too fast, and there's an oak tree that, if you're coming up Factory Street right here and this is the bank, the oak tree sat right here. Big oak tree. Had lots of fun in that oak tree. So I come up, I'm coming up Factory Street, and I hit the ditch, and I, you know, I'm not thinking about a lot except coming up the hill, right? I'm 5 or 6 years old, so I come up the hill, and I keep running, and I go right into this oak tree. Now, the oak tree is one thing, right? You stop when you hit the oak tree, but there was something behind the oak tree that really stopped me. I think there was a metal object, and it had four wheels, that was over here behind the oak tree, and it was red, and it was about a 1976 Nova. And so I'm coming up this hill, I run into the tree, the motorcycle hits the tree, and it bounces me off around the tree, and I hit the car, and I end up having to have three stitches in my eyebrow. So for all of the times you mothers have loved and nourished us, thank you so much, because I know that some of us can be pretty hard to handle. And my wife has had to fix lots of scrapes over the years as well. So we love you, mothers, and we thank you so much for who you are and the blessing that you are in our lives. There are a few things that I want to share with you this morning about mothers. It's important that we get this. John chapter 19 is where we'll be this morning. I told Stacy and Lane, verses 26 through 27, I believe. And I'm going to start back at verse 25. Don't worry about fixing that, brother. It's going to take you too long. Don't worry about it. I'm going to read it here. But there are seven ways that I want to encourage you children to love your mothers. Seven ways. It is seven ways that all of us can love our mothers or to love that special someone, that special lady that God placed in your life to encourage you, to help you along the years. And so we're going to talk about those things this morning. Seven ways to love your mother. And if I have calculated this properly, at 10 minutes a point, that's a 70-minute message. Is that good? Is that okay? That's the reason we're going to get started, Troy. We're fixing to move right on. But that's the reason that we had muffins for you this morning. We want to make sure that you had plenty to eat. So if you get hungry, just go back there and get a snack and just come. So 70 minutes. It's not going to take long, but, you know, 70 minutes. So with that, I want to ask you to honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This is King Jesus. He's at the cross, the crucifixion, and he looks down in the crowd and he sees his mother there, and then he sees the disciples that he loved, and he talks to his disciple, and he kind of encouraged him to take his mother as his own mother, so that Jesus knew that she was going to be well taken care of. And so here's what the scripture says, beginning in verse 25. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Father, thank you so much for today. And again, the impact these ladies have had upon our lives, the encouragement, the love, the patience, so many areas they've touched our lives. And we just thank you so much for them. And so we want to honor them today, but we want to give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I was trying to figure out this year, how am I going to preach a different Mother's Day message? Because over the years, you can preach Proverbs 31 so many times, right? And it comes to be the expected sermon of choice. And so this morning, I didn't do that. I didn't have a clue what I was going to preach. I'm struggling. I'm trying to figure this out. And so I get on Sermon Central, and they give me an outline. And this is not my outline, but I'm going to tell you something. It is good, and I really appreciate that. I did not write the guy's name down who this belonged to. I apologize for that. But just know it's not my outline. But it's still good. And so I give credit to him up front this morning. The first thing that I want to share with you this morning, we're going to love to learn our mothers. There's seven ways that all of us can love our mothers. Number one is this: we love her verbally. Amen? We love her verbally. It seems like men we've got a guy code, and I don't know if it's we're just macho or what it is, but we're intimidated to tell a lady that we love her. I don't know why that is, and all of the men aren't like that. But a lot of the times we do. We're growing, we're babies, we tell our mothers that we love them, but then we get to that age that we feel intimidated for some reason or another to look you in the eyes and say, "I love you." I don't know why we struggle with that so much. And so kind of a class participation Sunday morning sermon this morning, look to that lady. If she's your wife, wife, if she's your mother, she deserves and desires to hear you say, I love you. And so it's going to be a challenge for some of you, but you look at that lady sitting next to you. Husbands, look at your wives. Sons, look at your mothers. Daughters, look at your mothers. And you tell her right now in unison, I love you. Wow. I didn't hear that at all. You're not supposed to whisper it. That's not class participation. You have to look at her intently and deeply and passionately, and you have to say, Mom, I love you. Can you do it? That's better. That's a little bit better. But it's important, I think, that we do that. Question. How many of you women love to hear those words, I love you? It's important, isn't it? It's so important, and it encourages our mothers. And so I look at my wife and I can mean this with all of my heart. I love you. If my mother were here this morning, I would go to her this morning. I would have just walked right over to her and I would have told her, Mom, I love you. My grandmother the same way. Grandma, I love you. Why? Because they need to know how appreciated they are. There's a, how many of you have ever heard of Dear Abby, right? They're just some stories that are in a magazine every once in a while. And so there's a Dear Abby story that I want to read to you this morning, and it's this. It said, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japanese, and we were en route to Australia. 11 days after, we landed, and I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did, 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R leave from New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Listen to the story. It says, although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found that I just couldn't depart with hers. While Mary was alive, I should have frequently said, you don't know how much I love you. And I didn't. I never said it. It went unsaid. Now her ashes are on my dresser where I tell her several times a day how much I love her, but it's too late. Although I wrote poetry to her, I couldn't bring myself to say those three words I knew she wanted to hear as my dearest was dying. And I thought that she was comatose. I told her, there aren't enough words for me to tell you how much I love you. A few hours later, she replied, not enough words, and died. The reason I'm writing is to encourage men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. I don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depths of their feelings. Signed, Missing Mary in Colorado. And so I want to encourage you men, don't be intimidated to tell your mother that you love them. Sons, don't be intimidated ever to give your mother a hug and tell her that you love her. And that's for all of us, all of you children. So you love her verbally, but also you love her physically. Amen? How important is it to go up to your mothers and give them a hug occasionally? If you have an opportunity to do that, listen, it doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or if you're 55 years old or 105 years old, if you have an opportunity to hug your mother, she deserves a hug. Amen? Amen. And I'm thankful that I still have an opportunity to hug my mother. Let me ask you, and I want you to think about it. If you have that opportunity, when was the last time you gave your mother a hug? Just think about it. You don't have to respond to that. But when was the last time you gave your mothers a hug? Mothers, let me ask you this, and you don't need to respond either. I just want you to think, when was the last time you received a hug? How many of you mothers love hugs? Ty, before you leave, you hug your mother. He has to go to work, but you tell her you love her too. See yeah. That wasn't planned, but it worked out well. Good illustration. So, how many of you mothers love a hug? Really, think about it. How many of you mothers love to receive hugs? Let me tell you, I think one thing that you know about me is that I love to give hugs, right? I'm a hugger. You know why I'm a hugger? It's because I was hugged a whole lot as a child. My mother loved me. My grandmother loved me. And I got lots of slobbers and lots of hugs all my life. And I'm so thankful for all the hugs that I have received over the years. And so we get lots of hugs. Think about this for a moment. Your mother is the first one that really touches you. I mean, God created you in your mother's womb. You grow in your mother's womb. She gives birth to you. And the very first thing that she desires to do is to have you laid in her arms on her chest so that she can coddle you, so that she can caress your cheek, so that she can kiss you right after giving birth to you. That's love, friends. Amen? That's what mothers do. And we appreciate that from our mothers. We're loved, and we're loved deeply, and what a blessing it is to be loved as deeply as we are. So we got to love our mothers physically, but also we've got to love our mothers patiently. Amen. I know it's really important that our mothers love us patiently as children, but we've got to love our mothers patiently as well, because I think children do a bad job at being patient with their loved ones. It's really a funny thing that we're patient with everyone else except our mothers. Why is that? We've got to be patient with our mothers. Think about all that your mother has done for you over the years. Think about all of the diapers that she has changed. Think about all of the messes she has cleaned up. Think about all the clothes she has washed. Think about all of the times she has doctored scrapes. Think about all of those things she's done for you over the course of her life or over the course of your life. Friends, I want to tell you something. Mothers are valuable. Mothers are valuable. And so here's a little story, poem-ish kind of thing, and it's called No Occupation. Listen to this. She rises at the break of day, and through her tasks she races. She cooks the meals as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes all are done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one with one eye watching baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. And the last little verse of this. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery face returning lass and laddie. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. So what's the point? What is the point? Think about it. It's about all she does. It's about how busy she is. She wakes up early, according to Proverbs 31. She wakes up early, and she's the first one at work doing anything in the household. I believe this is true for most of our families. When I was going to church, I'd go to Grandma Sue's, and she would wake up every morning, and she would cook breakfast before anybody else ever got up. Sausage and eggs and biscuits and gravy every single morning. And those are just some of the things that she did to begin the day. And so we've got to be patient with our mothers. Why is it so important? Because we run to her and we say, Mom, why are these clothes dirty? Mom, what did you do with this? Mom, where is that? And we're not patient with Mom. How many did that hit a chord with? How many does that sound familiar with? Moms, we're going to commit to doing a better job with being patient with you. Why? Because we know there is no price that can be placed on the job, the work that you do. And whether you hear it from children or not, you are valuable and you are appreciated and you are loved. And so we thank you so much. So you have to love her patiently. But listen to this. What about loving her attentively? What about loving her attentively? Isn't it amazing that mothers are the ones that we run to, that we pour our hearts out? And mothers listen to everything that's going on in our lives without responding harshly most of the time. They listen to those things that's going on. They have that sympathetic ear. And they're always paying attention to what's going on in their children's lives. Because that's what mothers do. Mothers are attentive to their families. Mothers are attentive to their children. Why? Because mothers love us so deeply and so passionately. And I think we need to be able to reciprocate that, and we need to be able to love our mothers attentively. There's a documentary a few years ago that was done about men who were being executed for capital crimes. And so they went back and they interviewed the mothers of these men who were going to, were sentenced to death and were going to be persecuted, they were going to the death chamber, wherever that is, that's where they were going. And so they interviewed these men and then they interviewed their mothers, and invariably every one of these mothers, every single one during this interview said, "But he's such a good kid." And then the interviewer said, "But he killed 37 people with an axe." "Yes, but he has such a good heart." Now you think about that, because only our mothers can look at us in the light of every bad mistake we've ever done, and they can say to us, "But I know that my child has a good heart." So we need to be attentive to our mother, because there's going to come a day when our mothers need us to love them attentively. As attentive as our mothers are to us, we need to be attentive to them. So we love her patiently, we love her attentively, but also, listen to this, what about loving her greatly, gratefully? Are you thankful for your mothers? Think about it. Are you thankful for your mothers? Amen, preacher. Are you thankful for your mothers? You get to thinking about all of the blessings that she has been to you, all of the wounds she has mended, all of the times she's held you in her arms, all of the times she has fed you supper, all of the times she has taken care of your needs. Are you grateful for that lady that God has placed in your life? Amen. We've got to be grateful and thankful for those mothers in our life, and we've got to love them gratefully. There's a middle school science class. They were discussing magnets and how they attract to certain objects. And so on the test, the science teacher, she put on there a six-letter word that starts with M that attracts you. Let me see how exactly this went. A six-letter word that picks up things. And do you know that over half of those students put mother? Over half of those students put mother. And so if you think about it, that really, there's going to come a time when our mothers aren't there. And I know for some of you, mother's not here today. And I want to say that I'm sorry for the loss of your mother, but don't you remember all of the wonderful lessons mom taught you? Aren't you thankful for those times when you had to spend in the presence of mom? And I believe with all of my heart, if you had an opportunity to spend one more minute with mom, you would tell her how much you love her and how thankful you are for her. Amen? And so we love her gratefully. But what about loving her generously? What about loving her generously? Is there anything too good for mom? You know, I go and visit my mom now, and the only thing my mom and my grandmother want is for me to take them to lunch. That's it. They don't ask for a lot. They only want me to take them to lunch. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take them to lunch, and we're going to try and feed them, but we're going to love on them. That's all they ever request. That's all they ever require. You know, they're not really expensive. They're not high maintenance. They just want me to spend time with them. They want me to be able to come and to load grandma up in the car and to take them to lunch. What a blessing it is to have an opportunity to take them to lunch, and all of the times that they have provided for us. Can we ever really repay our mothers? I'm going to go on and tell you the answer to that is no. I don't think we'll ever do enough to be able to repay our mothers. But it's to realize the blessing that they have been to us. And so we need to be love her generously. Kind of a math quiz. I'm not real good with math. You guys know that. I don't know why I'm not good with math. I'm just not good with math. So if we're thinking about fractions and there's 10 of us sitting around at a table and there's one piece of apple pie left and everybody wants a small fraction of this apple pie, what is that fraction going to be? One-tenth. What is it? One-sixth. No, I didn't say one-sixth. It's going to be one-ninth. Because mom's going to say, you guys have it. I don't want any. Right? And then people like Troy are going to say, I'll eat mom's piece. just kidding, brother. That's actually what I would have said. But so we love our mothers generously. And then the last thing that I need to share with you this morning in closing is this. We'll wrap this up. See, you were worried about that 70 minutes, weren't you? And here I am. I knocked it out in 23 minutes so far. Wow, preacher. Hurry up. Hurry up. I'm hurrying. You got to love her honorably. Love her honorably. Why is this the last one? This is what Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says. Honor thy mother, thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And so that is a commandment with a promise. Out of all of the commandments, that's the only one that has a promise attached to it. All of the days of your mother's life, it doesn't matter whether you agree with everything that she says, whether you're even when it comes to obedience. Obedience is about you obeying her when you're there in her presence and you're at home. And then honoring her, it doesn't make any difference whether you agree with her or not. Honor is something that your mother deserves. Amen? Why is that true, preacher? Because that's what God's Word says. And it doesn't matter if mom has been a bad influence. It doesn't matter because the Scripture tells you to honor your father and your mother. And so you honor her. You look for ways to honor her. And so in closing, let me read this. Last little thing. It says, when God created mothers. And so, let me kind of wrap it up. When the good Lord created mothers, he was into the sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling around with this one. The Lord replied, have you seen these specks? She has to be completely washable but not plastic, have 180 movable parts, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and six pair of hands. The angel shook her head and slowly said, six pairs of hands? No way. The Lord replied, it's not the hands that are causing me the problems. It's the three pair of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair to see through closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing? When she already knows the answer. Another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, the ones in the front that look at a child when he goofs up and say, I understand. And I love you. Without so much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating a masterpiece, the Lord says. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of ground beef, can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise. Finally, the angel, bent over, ran her finger across the cheek of the mother and said, there's a leak. The angel said, I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model. That's not a leak, the Lord replied. It's a tear. What is it for? Asked the angel. The Lord replied, it's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. And so today, in closing, you make sure that your mother knows how valuable she is. Because moms, you are valuable. Let me pray. Father in heaven, today, in the matchless, mighty, most holy name of Jesus, thank you for placing these busy moms in our lives. If we could take time and a great effort to help your mom to look to the man standing beside her when you were on the cross, dying, breathing your last, then Lord, we should be able to take the time to look at our moms, to tell them they are loved, to give them a hug, to be attentive and just sit on the couch next to them patiently. Father, if we would just take the time to let these ladies know how much they mean to us while we have a chance, Lord, I believe it would make a tremendous difference in all of our lives. So today, Father, we thank you for these ladies you have placed in our lives. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Our invitation is going to be a little bit different this morning. So I want to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing in just a moment. But this is what our invitation is about today. Maybe you just need to break free for just a moment. You just want to come up here and you want to thank King Jesus for the mother that God has placed in your life. Maybe you just need to pray for reconciliation. I don't know what's going on, but maybe you need to pray for reconciliation. Maybe you need to pray and praise God for those special ladies, maybe that weren't your mother, but those special ladies that God has placed in your life, and you just need to give thanks. Whatever decision you need to make today, you use this as an opportunity to do so. And let me share this in closing. Never want to leave without giving you an opportunity to trust Jesus as Savior. I know this is not a salvific message, but the most important thing when we gather together is for an invitation to be given where if you've not trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you'll have an opportunity to do so. Preacher, you didn't talk about any of that. So how do I make a decision like that? Well, I want to share with you. The first thing that you do is to be able to acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's really the first thing that you do. You just kind of look into your heart and you realize that there's some areas where you've messed up, where you've missed the mark, and you acknowledge that you're a sinner. You believe that God sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross for your sins. You believe that He died, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later He was raised from the dead. So you confess your sin, you invite King Jesus to come into your heart and to be Lord of your life. If you're willing to do that this morning and you mean it with all of your heart, then I believe today King Jesus will save you eternally through the precious blood that was shed on Calvary. And so we're going to have this invitation, and whatever decision you need to make today, would you come? Brother Yates.